This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Right now, I have a band called Filth is Eternal in the studio, back again to promote the new record. It's called Find Out. It's coming out September 29th on Monarch. Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You guys have a show coming up on September 22nd at the Substation alongside King Parrot, an Australian band, Spirit in the Room, and Nurser. So I'm assuming you're going to be playing some new stuff. Let's go around the room, tell me, and reintroduce yourself and what you do in Filth is Eternal.
I'll kick it off. I'm Lee D'Angelo, and I do vocals and just make a scene.
That's true. I'm Brian McClellan. I play guitar and, screen print and stuff.
Yeah. Screen print.
Well, I only do one thing. I'm Mike Sparks, and I play bass. I do it really well, though.
All right.
Very professional.
Are we missing any members?
Tonight our drummer couldn't make it, and then we have a second guitar player who is currently he's relocating.
Sounds good. Yes. Right on. Well, the record has been a long time coming. Let's talk a little bit about Find Out and how you worked on it. Where did you guys go to record it? All that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We started the writing process a few years ago, over 2020.
Yep.
We had a lot of time to put the riffs together, and it worked out. We just put a lot of time and feeling and thought into just trying to put these songs together. It was a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of over the course of 2020 to 2022.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. So yeah, 2 years.
Took a little bit to write that batch of material, but it was a good time.
Also, I mean, for 2020, everybody was just...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you did.
I think we all blacked out during
Yeah,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Our watch, that was that King... What was that show?
Tiger King.
Yeah.
Everyone seems so on planet long Earth. Ago, right?
Yeah. It does. It feels so long ago now.
I was definitely healthier then.
So where'd you guys go to record the album?
For this studio process, we normally record here in Seattle at this studio that we love in Fremont, but we went to LA and we wanted to spend some time like just focusing on getting the tracks down. We went and recorded. We started the recording at Studio 606.
Yeah, for that's drums. The
Foo Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
That studio.
Did you guys get to use any of that old vintage equipment? Or
We call him David Grohl, which I think is important.
Okay. Close friend. He loves that.
He deserves full respect.
That's right.
We did actually. It was super fun being at that studio. We got to use some drum kits that were on Foo Fighters records.
Wow.
Acrylic Ludwig drums that we just love. There was so much vibe in that studio, and it was just really nice to be a part of that.
Yeah.
It was definitely like, it felt like a once in a lifetime kind of experience to be able to access a space like that and make a record there. We got to start there, do drums, and then we moved over and did guitars at a place called Dave's Room. Different Dave.
Yeah.
Different Dave, David.
Not David.
Not Dave. David.
I'm actually starting a side project called Different Dave.
Different Dave.
Nice.
Yeah. But we did all of our vocals there, and then Lise recorded, or we did all of our guitars there, and then Lise recorded vocals with Paul Figg at his place.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah.
Right on. What do we know Paul Figg from?
So that actually a friend, we got introduced to him, or like, what has he done?
Yeah.
What worked on?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He did the last Alice in Chains record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fog, so. He did
and that's kind of what got our attention was, I love Alice in Chains.
Yeah, right. He did some System of a Down, which was,
wow.
He had some crazy stories.
He's a great producer.
Really yeah. He's a great producer.
So this is a bit of a step up as far as, you know, getting all the big guns.
I would say difference, just step in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it worked for this body of material. We've, you know, I think every engineer, I mean, you know, I could go on and on with names, and most people in Seattle would probably know these people. These are our friends that we've worked with. We just kind of wanted to try something different, and a friend of ours from assistant engineer
Phil Vera
is the one who introduced us.
Cool.
And he actually ended up, like I said, assistant engineer on the entire record to Paul Figg, and you know, they were friends, and he just mentioned, hey, you should try this guy out, he's amazing, and he's fun in the studio, and
yeah,
quite skilled, and yeah.
Yeah, Phil plays in that band Despise You.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I really love.
Yes.
They're so good. And we were talking about, you know, who we could work with that would get the kind of vibe on this material. It's, you know, it's like hardcore, but it's also just more like just rock and roll in some ways. A little bit more hard rock.
And metal.
Yeah, Phil obviously, like, he got like the grind and the more, you know, hardcore elements of what we were doing, the DB and everything. And then he knew Paul would be able to handle the material and like treat it right as far as like aggressive music goes,
yeah,
how to capture it the right way. So it was a good time.
So was this, you guys are going to be on Monarch Records, big label.
Yes.
Label mates with Crowbar, Black Label Society, Escuela Grind, a lot of, you know, I get Decibel Magazine and they have ads every month with these big albums that are coming out on Monarch. Did you guys go into this album recording it knowing you would be on Monarch, or did you like shop it to labels and Monarch happened to be the one that liked it?
We ended up making the batch of material and then started seeing, you know, who would be, you know,
okay,
several people that had expressed interest. And I think at the end of the day, it was just, they had such a good family vibe.
Sure.
And that's how they came across. It came across like instant family. And the other part that was really cool is they loved what they heard and they wanted to just amplify that. That's kind of the whole approach there is. And so, and I love their roster of the bands that they have, like,
totally,
like the Rollo Tomasi and, I'm dyslexic. Callous Cowboys. Yeah. I turn it around.
That's a tricky one, to be fair.
I actually just saw them with Rollo Tomasi and Pound. Yeah.
So. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Amazing.
Yeah, so good. Such a good show. But yeah, just really great company, and that's kind of what we just sort of gravitated towards.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We started with the demos, and then just we were talking to our management about labels, and they just had, you know, everything we were looking for, and it's, you know, the whole thing is just passing the vibe check, because you want to know that you can hang out with people.
Sure.
And we did recently hang out with them. They're just they're so chill, like people that you would just hang out with, and they're so supportive.
Everyone from Monarch's been like really cool and supportive, and you can tell that they genuinely like dig the music, and they get into bands because they want to support bands, and it's not just, you know, like some label thing.
Well, I mean, like, you know, Callous Dowboys and you know, Rollo Tomasi are not like necessarily commercially viable music, right? It's very out there, strange music, but it's all good. It all like is awesome music. It's just all different, and it's just really cool art. So
yeah,
exactly.
You know, they're not looking for singles.
Yeah,
you know, so.
And then that's why I felt really good when I started realizing who was a part of the family. As they were saying, it was like, oh, these are all bands that just do their thing.
Yeah.
And then again, they just amplify that.
That's awesome.
And art-driven groups.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really, yeah, so it's kind of special.
That's awesome. Yeah. So with this record, did you guys have any vibe you guys wanted to like move toward? Was it, you know, was there anything that kind of stood out you wanted to like change up as far as like the new record, go into a different direction, or was it all pretty natural?
A lot of it was just kind of natural progression from, you know, the last record. We knew that, you know, we played a lot of fast stuff as Filth is Eternal and our previous groups and things like that. But we knew that we wanted to do a little bit more like mid-tempo, a little bit more like songwriting. You know, it doesn't have to just be all fast all the time.
You can make a hook?
Oh, yeah, I guess so, right?
just one, though.
Just one.
Yeah. We're only allowed one hook.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good progression from like more of what we wanted to do, like more of our strengths. We wanted to try and bring out the strong points, but then also try a couple new things. And then
I definitely wanted to do more, I guess, get more melodic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of dabbled with that in prior groups, of which we've all participated in.
Yes, correct.
But I just wanted to kind of go there again.
Yeah.
And I found that just it allowed me a lot more movement and a lot, I don't know, it was just a broader canvas.
Yeah.
And that really excited me. So
I also think that like it's an homage to like a Seattle lineage.
Totally.
But also not like super conscious of an homage. Like it's like, hey, like we've lived up here for a long time. Let's draw from our experiences and kind of have our own take on it, like via hardcore.
Yeah.
Like bands like Victim's Family, for instance,
sure.
I think are like a really good reference point for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Are we going to say the G word? Grunge?
Well, yeah.
Does grunge start with G?
People always
do I not know how to spell
that,
grunge?
Right. Well, we kind of knew that we were just going to put this out, and then it's been interesting watching people's interpretation.
Yeah.
More often than not, they are saying grunge when they're listening to the record. So we're kind of just, it's just whatever people feel, whatever they're thinking, however they're describing or interpreting it. I love it.
Have you ever read a review and just cringed? I'm like, oh.
You know, I'd say...
Wait, have you not?
I probably have. I've probably written one that I've cringed at, reading back at it. Like, oh, did I say that?
I feel pretty fortunate that, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the coverage has been, like, positive and pretty insightful. And that's been cool, you know, like...
Everything so far feels spot on.
Yeah.
And as far as what I would have anticipated or imagined. And, I mean, I'm just interested when the whole batch gets...
Yeah.
Out there.
Why have you seen some funny reviews?
I'm just seeing like
what do you know?
Wait till you get Anthony Fantano to do Fantano doing The Filth Is Eternal,
I don't think we're on his radar, but
he just did the Pain of Truth record, so you never know.
Sometimes things fall on his radar, you know, and it's interesting about Fantano is I've just been watching him since I felt like I was a kid, when he first started.
Totally.
I've always been a huge fan of his just because I love how much thought and love and passion he puts into his, you know, into his work. And, you know, of course it'd be great, like, if someone was to hear you, but, you know, at the same time, you know, that could go either way.
Sure.
Like, I wish you would review the record.
Do you hear us?
And you're like,
do you hear us, Anthony? How you doing out there?
Yeah, Fantana.
Fantana.
But, yeah, I do enjoy his interpretation. I'm just, as far as the whole body material, that's when I'm going to get excited.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of little, there's other songs in there. I can't wait to see how people digest them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you guys have any idea of like some of the cool colors that you guys are going to get on vinyl?
You would probably know that.
Yeah. Actually, I worked with the label and a couple really incredible artists and designers. We worked with... Ellie from Membrane up in
Membrane.
Yeah, from Bellingham. Shout out Membrane.
That's right. I love them so
much. Ellie did a fantastic series of Polaroids that we got to work with for some of the album art. And Piper Ferrari is a designer that we work with on some photography from Becky DiGilio. Shot the cover art. And we got to put all that together and build the album art. And then I got to coordinate all of the vinyl colors with all of the artwork.
So, okay.
It was such a fun process. Like, we did...
Really collaborative this time.
Yeah,
a lot of people were part of it. So that was really cool.
Yeah, we did some really nice, like... there's, like, some green and clear, like, pink swirl. Some fun variants. Like, we did all of the deluxe ones.
Nice.
There's exclusive color packages for Europe and exclusive ones. In the
I think
States,
the coolest thing is you have the...
there's 10 different variants. So there's going to be different...
Test presses, too.
Yes.
That's what I'm excited about, when we can get those together, because you have special... artwork for that. And
are we going to do that at the King Parrot show?
Maybe. Oh, there we go. So
oh, yeah,
we'll bring him to King Parrot.
Isn't that a nice plug? That's great.
King Parrot, again, here we go.
And some of them have Brian's actual blood on them. Not in the record, but on
just on
it.
The
just
jacket?
On it.
I'm clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
So my question is, will it be available on compact disc?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It will be.
Dude, I think you and I are the last ones with compact discs.
No. It's back. Compact disc.
It's retro again.
True.
It's making a comeback.
Yeah.
With whatever Alpha.
They're like, wow.
Gen Alpha.
Exactly.
That's really
okay.
Funny.
So you guys got to play with Botch. That's something awesome. Tell me about that experience and what your reaction was like when you were opening for Botch.
I think it's pronounced Boch.
Boch. Okay.
That
I've been
like
saying
your
it wrong
deal.
The whole time.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry.
Wait, I think it was what Brian Cook got a hold of you, or is that how it started? And just asked if we'd be interested, and because I remember seeing them, you know, they announced they had these shows, and I didn't get tickets in time.
Oh.
So the first thought I had was yes, so I can see the show. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was so ecstatic.
And Brian got to play two shows, right? You
That's
got to
true.
Play with Haunted Horses and.
Yeah, Haunted That's Horses right. opened on
We almost
Friday.
Kicked him out of the band because of that.
that was a pretty hectic weekend. Those guys live in different cities, so they had to fly in, and we were trying to coordinate a last-minute practice at the same time that Filth was getting ready for that.
And Mike joined us for guitar for that.
Yes.
Mike was playing guitar, so it was a crazy week, but it was such a good time. Like, I never thought... I got into that band after they had broken
up. Yeah.
But, like, just recently, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see them. And it was the classic. Someone was like, oh, dude, they're already there.
Yeah. Long
you missed,
gone,
you missed
bro.
It. Yeah.
And it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And then
so
it's like,
just,
wait, they're back.
There were some songs I just never thought I was going to get to see live, but they were so good.
Absolutely.
It was like watching an experience in real time.
And they sounded perfect.
I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. I know that, like, you know, hardcore has been a part of my lineage for a long time, but Botch was always kind of like the ineffable thing.
Yeah.
You know, they were always like far removed. And yeah, watching them was like literally like some Matrix stuff. sorry, trying not to say the other word. Unbelievable. Like everything that you can imagine, like folklore comes true.
Totally.
And it was so beautiful too, like them getting their family up there.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, so cool. It was just, how could this night.
All the old men stage diving. It was great.
Yeah. Right. It was just great.
Really, really, really cool.
To be a part of. Yeah. Just really grateful for that. And thanks, Brian Cook, for calling us and the whole band for having us.
What up, B?
So again, they're going to be playing the 22nd at the Substation with Spirit in the Room, Nurser, and a band from Australia called King Parrot. The band you're listening to is Filth is Eternal. Their new album, Find Out, is coming out the 29th. You can pre-order it now. And we're going to go into one of the songs. So let's go into Pressure Me. So anyone want to, you know, introduce this or, you know?
Go for it.
Filth is Eternal.
All right. Let's let it speak for itself. It's Pressure Me here on Metal Shop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pressure Me by Filth is Eternal here on Metal Shop. Their new album, Find Out, is available on the 29th. You can pre-order it now. If you want to hear these songs live, you can go see them at the Substation over in Fremont, Ballard area, Freelard, with Nurser, King Parrot, and Spirit in the Room. So, Brian.
Yes.
Pokey Chip.
Oh, Pocky Chip?
Pocky Chip.
Yes.
This is a note on my sheet that Elise said, you got to ask. Tell me the story about the Pocky Chip.
Look, his face is already turning red. Thinking about it, you're like triggered.
Well, I guess if the radio wants to hear about embarrassing stories, yeah, sure.
Always. Let's go.
The radio does.
Oh, like our label people from Monarch, they run a hot sauce festival.
Okay.
And so we did that recently. We went to go hang out with them at a hot sauce eating contest, expo, whatever.
Wow.
But one of the things that Lise always loves to tell people is the time that I ate the pack one chip challenge.
Because he's from New Mexico. Like, he's been eating, he can take heat.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a food item shut a man down. So this was incredible.
I mean, it's just, it's like near chemical warfare. Have you tried this?
No.
Yeah, I guess there's maybe a couple tiers, and I accidentally went straight to the top.
I think that
where was this available at?
I think the Pocky One Chip Challenge is available literally at any retail store. Thank you so much.
Wow.
I got it at one of the gas stations on Aurora thinking this will just be fine.
Yeah.
This will be fine. That was the worst mistake I ever made.
Yeah, it took you out for days or something.
It's got like something like 900 Scovilles. A lot of capsaicin.
I mean,
it's really rotten stuff.
I believe
buddy.
The Scoville rating is some sort of exponential. So I don't know, but okay. It was definitely. Yeah,
no. I don't know why we're fighting about
over
this.
Over the line. Have you tried this, Sparks? You got to do this.
No, I would never. Days. No, I would never.
The change his color. Like your color change everything. Yeah, so you should definitely try it, Kevin.
We should make a music video where you eat that again.
Oh,
you're
my gosh,
not
that's
down.
A great idea.
Well, who's
not
that music
down.
Video for?
Yeah. Well, not. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of music videos, you guys have a couple videos out. So tell me about the direction. They're very artistic and very. You could, you know, do a hardcore music video where band's playing in the garage, and you know what I mean. It's pretty basic. You could really, you know, simple hardcore video, but you guys went all out there and did some cool animation, did some cool stuff. So tell me about. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we've always kept it pretty minimal in the past for videos. We've always kind of had it sort of a theme that we've used. We've got a projector. You know, we're out kind of in a space, usually running it out of Black Lodge.
So, yeah.
but this time we were just like, hey, let's just try something different.
Yeah.
And we were informed of a really great a director that we could work with. And we just said, let's try to do something maybe with color. They had really great editing skills, and green screen. That's hard to say that skills. And I was like, well, let's do one for sure with green screen.
Yeah.
And then the other one, we just sort of conceptualized and thought we would, you know, get a bunch of neon lights and just create a vibe and an energy to kind of match the spirit of the music. I don't know. And well, the third one.
What was her name though?
Marcy.
Yeah.
Marcy Stone Francois. Right.
Yes. Marcy Stone Francois.
Yeah, Marcy shot videos for Crawl Space and for Pressure Me. Then we have another video coming out for a song called Cherish as well. But she did the first two out of Victory Studios.
Awesome.
We rented the
over
room
in Interbay.
Yeah. Great spot. You live right over there still.
Yeah.
You still over there?
No, I'm over in Greenwood, but I know what you're talking about.
Where are you right now, actually?
Greenwood, bottom of
Sorry.
You need my address?
Trying to be weird. Yeah, if you don't mind, your personal address.
We had
a security number.
We had a great time shooting with Marcy, and then, I mean, she was like one of the best projects.
If you're looking for anyone, she is so professional, and her editing skills, like she and the way, how fast around.
Yeah.
So I would just say check out the videos if you love them and you are interested in working with someone. You should get a hold of this individual.
She's
for sure.
So when you're there and Marcy's, you know, kind of doing her thing, and you're just follow me on where I'm going with this, okay? So Marcy's doing her thing. She has our artistic vision.
Yeah.
Would you call it Marcy's Playground?
Oh my god!
That's interesting. Who is the DJ right now? That's curious. I don't think that any of us care for that joke.
So. I'm into it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm into it.
So okay. The answer is yes. But yeah, she is just fantastic, and honestly, but I will say this: I don't care who you are. I would say most people would agree with me on this. Doing music videos is awkward. Yeah. Like, it's just, it feels weird. I mean, no matter what you're doing, no matter what the vision is or how well you've rehearsed the idea in your head, you get a camera in your face and you're pretending to go over the song for the 400th time. Like, it's really hard to sort of, like, commit and make it look. So I don't know why I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, that's so weird. But hey. It's 100% natural for me. Just really easy.
If you didn't know, Michael's a very professional bass player.
Totally.
Yes, absolutely.
So again,
I'm going to take over the show after it's over.
Well, you guys are going to get placed together, obviously.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. I can't see you, but...
Hello.
Ah, the eye contact. Yep. Awesome. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, you as a child... Okay, let's go back to some traumatizing memories.
You know, I'm just kidding. You just actually dropped an F-bomb there.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Let's go back and what got you into underground or, you know, alternative music as a kid, you know? We've probably covered this, but let's reiterate.
What are you looking at Brian right now?
Let's start with you, Lise. Sure.
Ugh, okay.
Mine was no doubt Tragic Kingdom. That's what got me into music.
Welcome to the Tragic Kingdom.
Good song, yeah. That whole album.
Of popcorn.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
That was actually, Brian, I mean, are we talking about at least what got us into music in general, like as a kid, like trauma after post-trauma? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, what started your journey onto being a fan of music and then playing music, you know?
For me, it was my parents were... in this very underground, like, DIY band together.
Really?
My whole life, almost. And they, maybe towards, like, later high school years.
Were your parents in Dead Moon?
Yes. Yes. And, and so I just... being raised with music, and then my dad, you know, he was just so devout to it. He had a music room, and every genre was in there. So at a very young age, just... that's what I did. I would like, I didn't have friends. I listened to music. I just listened to music for hours. I'd come home and just listen to music, all different types, different formats. And, you know, that was my life. And I just feel like through osmosis and proximity, I just fell in love with it. But yeah.
What were your parents' kind of band? What kind of band? What kind of music was it?
It was sort of like progressive-ish, but also like the roots were kind of folk. Folk,
cool.
Prog,
okay.
Kind of vibes. Yeah, with a little dash of
hippie prog?
Brian's saying yes.
They're great.
I should probably just say yes. Yes,
well,
a little bit of hippie.
And Vinny.
Yeah.
Can I look it up?
Peace, love. There's nothing that you would find because it never left the underground.
Okay. They still jam together.
But they still play together to this day.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's really
good. It is weird that all their songs are about you, which is like kind of
you
like,
would never
it's like
that.
Your Donnie Darko moment.
Whoa. Yeah. That's creepy. Okay.
Ew. They still jam together. It's really cute.
It is really cute.
Were your parents in a band?
Mine? No. I'm the only person that does anything with music in my family. It's really,
really
hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I got started when I was 13. There was a teen center in my little town in Roswell, New Mexico, called the Unity Center. And one time, we were all on tour together and drove by there.
It was super rad, by the way.
That's right.
It was an abandoned airport that a bunch of adults got together, and they petitioned the city to start a teen center. And then they built a vocational lab out of the back so you could learn, like, woodworking. They built a little computer lab. They eventually built a skate park.
That's like your Roswell Vera.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Really cool,
like,
man.
I got started in that, and then they
I'll never forget that, by the way.
They taught us how to book shows, so I started booking shows at 13. Just these, you know, terrible local bands. All my friends, like, dumb little middle school bands. But having somewhere to go, I found was very important. And it allowed us to actually build music skills and learn how to do things that we used for bands later on. So it was a good training ground for that.
Wow.
What about you, Mike?
My grandparents did like reduxes on Broadway, like my grandfather did, like Little Abner and stuff. And that,
really?
And that,
wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Totally.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess it just became interesting for me at a really young age. And I wasn't expected to answer this question. Yeah, sorry.
So you were a show tunes kid.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. My grandfather was the entertainment director for Harrah's, I think on the West Coast. Whoa. For many years.
That's
and
cool.
Just seemed like a natural thing to get into. And then I around fourth grade found out Kurt Cobain existed.
Yeah.
And that's where it kind of all started for me.
Yeah. Right on.
Yep.
Nice.
All right. So you bring up Kurt Cobain. You guys, you know, worked with the guy who recorded Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Let's talk about favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Ooh.
This radio show, Metal Shop. And it could be bands that are playing today, you know, anywhere from Future Tense to Nirvana. You know, what are your favorite favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Well, I'm going to say, like, just to get it over with, that it's the big TAD.
Yeah.
I think that Tad is one of the most underrated grunge musicians of all time.
Yeah.
And also he's been doing such amazing experimental, like, symphonic stuff lately.
And yes. Recording band. He's a record.
Yeah.
That's
Tad is just the king. King of the kings.
Yeah.
Legend. Yep. An absolute legend.
When I moved to Seattle, my friend said, here, this is the only thing that you need to catch up. And he gave me the homework of I had to watch the DVD for Busted Circuits Ringing Eardrums.
Yes. Yes.
And we watched that probably 100 times. When we first moved to town. It's just the story of Tad the man and Tad the band.
Yeah.
And his journey across, you know, several albums in the late 80s and early 90s, taking bands out from here.
Mm-hmm.
He really, like, paved the way for a lot of the bands that did come up. Whether or not he ended up getting a fully fair shake out of some... But he's been an inspiration for us the entire time. We've been very lucky to, like, work with him in the past.
And yeah.
So, I mean, I love Tad. I love all of his work.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Tad and just say that ultimately I think the gravity that pulled me in is always Nirvana. I've said that probably a million, trillion, bazillion times. And these guys know how much I'm just, like, Nirvana worship over here. And then a band that's now band that I love is Denial of Life.
Yes,
dude,
Tacoma.
I just met the lead singer finally for the first time.
Brenna.
Big hugs. I just, oh my gosh, I love them so much.
Let's get a Filth Denial of Life tour. Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, they're so good.
Would you guys ever entertain the idea of doing an album with Steve Albini?
Boom.
Yeah.
What a weird question.
Good question. I like that.
My instant answer? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I actually don't know how to answer that question.
A while back, he was not pleased.
Was
Shellac playing?
Yeah,
I would say the idea of making a record with Albini is always interesting because it's more like a document, right?
Yeah,
is that necessarily what we want to do as a band? I mean, that should be our consideration, right?
Yeah.
Make our document number 8 with Albini.
Yeah. No, but I remember really a band I really like is called... Sharks.
Right. Who would you rather record with, Steve Albini or Kurt Ballou from Converge?
Talk to Brian.
For this, I would love to record with Kurt.
Yeah, Brian's been talking about that for a while. That's a really great question.
Yeah, I would love to work with him. I love the way that he mixes.
And, you know, other people have been working with him, right? Like Escuela Grind and others, like, who happen to also be on Monarch. Like,
Gate Creeper just finished their...
Oh, did they?
Just this past week.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I love his work.
We would love to.
Some of my favorite records that he did are, like, some of the Trap Them releases.
Yeah.
I love Trap Them. It's so nasty. It's like, for me, that's like my biggest thing. I just love just disgusting, dripping guitar tone.
Yeah.
Just nasty.
I just love front people who are like busting out their own teeth.
Yes.
Ryan was.
I will never forget.
And he broke all of his bones on tour.
Yeah.
And then
I'm pretty sure he broke all of his bones on tour. That's horrendous.
I think that we saw them at Highline, and I'm pretty sure I watched him knock out three of his own teeth.
No, yeah, that really happened. Yeah. Like, you were like, at that show,
that's,
too.
That's weird work.
You know what's funny is I would go over to my friend John's house, and we would just watch wrestling. Like, he was just a normal guy who was obsessed with wrestling. Yeah. So I was like, aren't you the maniac who used to, like, smash his teeth out? He's like,
yeah.
You know, no, not I'm just going to
go
have
a cig and watch some wrestling.
What'd you think about that gag show recently? I felt the same way about that.
I loved it.
And I don't know. Betrayal of Guilt is like a career band. Like that dude from Gag, I'm pretty
His stage presence.
Right, he's ready to go.
Yeah. You've seen them live.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they blew me away. Like, it had been a long time since we had played with them at Lindisfest.
Yeah.
And it had been since then that we had seen them. And I don't know, that night, somebody pulled me away while they were performing, and I saw him when we just played with Portrayal of Guilt recently, and it just, my mind exploded.
Yeah.
What stage presence.
It was like, so I hadn't seen anything since Circle Jerks, dude. That was crazy weird.
So good.
I saw them at Rainfest, and he came out with a baby face, like a baby mask on, and completely naked, and he got tackled by security. Because he wasn't, because it's a college's venue, you can't be naked here.
And he was like, well, I disagree.
Yeah, he was just completely naked with a creepy baby face on. And they're going to be playing again the 22nd at the Substation with Spirit in the Room, Nurser, Filth is Eternal, King Parrot, Australia. They're going to be playing these songs and more. The album's coming out the 29th, and it's called Find Out. So you can find out about your new favorite band, Filth is Eternal.
I see what you're doing there. Yes. That's cool.
Any shout outs or thank yous you want to send out before we jump into the last song here?
Just want to say thanks a lot to Seabass for helping us shoot a video this week, work out our last video. And then thank you to everyone at Monarch. Thank you to our manager, Mike Messina. Thank you to our friends. You know, it's been awesome. Shredding with a Gag. We played with Portrayal of Guilt this week. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Amazing.
We played with City of Caterpillar.
Amazing.
Nice.
We're feeling very lucky, very fortunate to have those opportunities. Been great bands, awesome venues, you know.
And I just want to say thank you to seriously every single person who's touched this record. You know, every person who's been a player, every person who helped us produce, engineer, every person who's just been pushing. And above all, I just want to say thanks to Mike Messina. You know why? Thank you for having our backs and help keeping us together and sane and pushing us forward every step of the way. And I just want to say thank you to you. You've supported us over all these years and every project we've ever been in. You're such a part of this community, and we love you.
Thank you. I also think that your handsomeness is really underrated.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'd also like to give you a brief shout out to Robert Cheek.
Friend
of the family for a long time.
And Robert Cheek has also helped us with tons and tons of records and many projects, including this one. So great engineer, great producer, great everything, stand-up dude.
We just recorded a secret cover with him.
Oh, we did. Yes.
Top secret.
I'll send it for anyone else.
Really great bass playing on that track.
Very
just
professional.
By the way.
I don't know if I've mentioned it. I believe the bass playing is very professional.
On a secret track.
Yes.
But again, thank you so much for having us, Ken.
You're welcome.
Our treat.
I'm going to go into Crawl Space. Now, here's the thing. Brian, I'm going to call you out, okay? So you're going to be the cheesy radio morning DJ now. So I want you to do the boisterous. Yes. You're listening to KISW. Here's Crawl Space, all right? So one, three.
You're listening to KISW. This is Filth is Eternal with Crawl Space.
Of the Rock.
The Rock!
Metal Shop.
Metal Shop!
Wait.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.